Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Well, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get on. But let me correct something. It's me, Adam, and Dr. Spaz filling in for Dr. Drew, Dr. Bruce, who I always say is probably a better doctor.
With a straight face, you say that.
Probably a better doctor than Dr. Drew, although there are plenty of waiters that may be better actors than Channing Tatum. But they're out of work. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not all about the skills.
But let me give you an analogy.
Mm-hmm. Good lenses, bad frames. It's in the Urban Dictionary. It was coined by me to describe Dr. Bruce. So you will live on. Good lenses, bad frames.
And may I, oops, bang my mic stand just to make you feel more at home, like as if Drew was here. But what? Where would there be pearls if there weren't that irritant? In the clam. I'm that irritant. Drew, I've listened to prepare
you're,
for this.
You're the grain of sand inside my oyster. That's right. That's how they make cultured oysters.
Yes.
They put a little grain of sand in there. They irritate it. And next thing you know, beautiful pearl.
Right. And I've listened just to prepare because I figured you might say, if I said I've never heard you and Drew do your podcast. And Drew goes out of his way not to irritate you. I don't go as far.
No, he does not. Yes. He does not go out of his way. His favorite topic is how my staff is frightened of me. That's every time he comes in there, he's like, look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him. And I go, what? And he goes, oh, of course they're not going to say anything to you. And then he points through the glass at Chris Maxipata, and he goes, look at him, look at him, look at him. And I always say this, a couple things. I'll tell you when people are scared, not by how they look, but how they act. I get into this all the time. I come in here, my assistant will be sitting in his office drinking a beer at noon with his fucking shoes off and his feet up on my desk, and he'll go, hey, how's it going? And I'll go, that's not what scared people do. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, well.
Honestly. I've gotten to this with Lynette before, as she would say, oh, you know what? You scare me. And I'd always go, no, I don't. No, I don't. And she'd go, you do. And I'd go, no, you're not. You're not scared. And she'd go, how do you know? And I'd go, you would do 10% of the shit I told you to do if you were scared. Scared people. Let me tell you something. When you have a stepdad who you're scared of and he comes home, you hear like his car coming up the driveway. You fucking put away the Legos fast and you start doing push-ups like you. That's what's scared. Scared acts scared.
Well,
when I would come home and Ozzy would just be sitting in my kitchen eating, and I would come home every day at the same time. Like when I did my morning radio show,
right.
I'd come home every day between 11:10 and 11:30. And every other day, Ozzy would be talking to my nanny in the kitchen while he was eating. And I'd walk in and go, get the fuck to work. What are you doing here? But then the next day I'd come in. That's not a scared person.
No.
Your actions.
Maybe not smart either.
Not smart,
but
not scared.
Drew is projecting.
He's projecting.
His level of anxiety. He projects that anxiety to others.
That's what he does. That's what he does. Now, let's talk about important issues like pizza. And pizza toppings.
Oh, no.
Famously, Dr. Bruce brought his kids over to the house. That was probably 3-4 years ago to enjoy a little swimming party at the Carolla house. Yeah. And I said to his daughter and son. I said, well, I'm going on a pizza run. So what do you guys like on your pizza? And the answer was, what do you like for toppings?
They were scared.
I know. well, what would you order if you were ordering pizza? Would you get it? What would you like? Pepperoni, sausage, meatball? Nothing. Doesn't matter. I said, what the hell kind of 10-year-old doesn't have a pizza topping? You have a pizza. It's something you like on top of your pizza. It's right up there with ice cream. Like, you're all right, you got ice cream. You want some fudge, you want some tapioca, you want some whipped cream. What do you want on there? By the way, let me tell you, when I travel, if I ever get up in that first class section and you get the three classes, by the way, here's the only real first class is if you get on the plane and you turn left and everyone else turns right. That's what you're looking for. If you get on the plane and you turn right, you ain't in first class. They call it first class. It's basically business.
Yeah.
It got bumped to first class because they got no business. You want to turn left and have everyone else turn right when you get on the plane.
Better restrooms up there. That's
about
it.
So when the cart comes by, every once in a while they do the ice cream cart. They make you a sundae. Oh, yeah. And they go, you want the fudge or do you want the caramel or do you want the this? And I just go, bring it all, baby. Suicide. Get it all. Nuts and all. Go sick. I want you to shit on it. I want you to defecate on it as well. Produce. So it's always been an interesting thing to me. And a kid that doesn't like a pizza topping or have a pizza topping that they like. But, you know, they're young. I let it slide.
Mm.
It's been discussed.
Yes.
It's what we call a marker. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when they go look for serial killers and they look into their past.
Yeah.
Torturing animals. Number two, no pizza topping. Oh. Number one.
Oh, really?
Not having a favorite.
Is this a DSM
pizza.
Corolla?
Yes. Yeah. DSM 6. I don't know what we're on.
We're on 5, but 5. You're on 6.
I've gone to 6.
Yeah.
That's right. Not having a favorite pizza topping, torturing animals.
How about
number two on the profile?
Prank calls with Dr. Phil app. That's what I'm doing. I don't care about the pizza topping.
Oh, the app.
I got a kid that
I want to get into that app for a second.
Okay.
So now, Bruce brings his lovely children in.
HOV lane.
Sweet. Oh, that's why you brought them.
No. We're going to have a day out of town.
He named one lane and the other HO. So, brings them in, and of course, I got a first question out of my mouth.
Yeah, right.
Favorite pizza topping. I need one. Now, they've had 5 years to really think this one over.
To go to therapy.
They went to therapy. Yeah. That's right. That's right. The girl?
Elizabeth. Libby.
Libby?
Right. You can't remember their names?
And the girl and the boy?
Yeah.
The girl? Libby? Broccoli.
Chris, get Lynette on the phone.
Broccoli. That is, by the way, broccoli, while a healthy choice. In the pizza, the pantheon of toppings, that may be a minus two. I'm trying to think of what, I mean, clams, to be fair, clams are below broccoli.
Clams on pizza?
Oh, I went on a date and a chick ordered clams on pizza. And I was like, no. And she was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, no.
Not a good portent for the rest of the date.
Yeah, not a good sign.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They don't put clams on
pizza.
They
did it this goddamn place. Okay. All right. And the boy.
Joseph.
Jose.
Yeah.
The boy, nothing. He's still a cheese.
Nah.
That's what he said to me. So you're now 0-2.
No.
You got nothing and you have broccoli.
Are you Italian?
You're minus two. Yeah. Look, I understand your point that you made out by the coffee pot was heard.
Uh-huh.
That when you go to New York and you order a slice.
I'm from Brooklyn, okay?
Right.
So.
Right.
Third generation born in Brooklyn. when you go to buy pizza in New York, you just say, is it one or two slices, right? And then you put the garlic on the pizza.
Right. The garlic powder. There,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
By the way, I love that garlic powder. I don't feel like it's used enough out here. People give you – you know what they give you here? They give you packets of pepper. Red pepper, but it's like, I don't want the red pepper. I want the garlic powder. I've been to pizza joints where I go, do you have that? We got the pepper. And then you go, no. And they go, we got Parmesan cheese. And you go, no, garlic powder. And then there's a place to go, we have garlic salt. No, it's too salty. Garlic powder.
That's
yes.
it. So,
yes. Okay. Cheese with garlic powder. Good. Still not really an answer for favorite topping, though.
Why? Okay.
Well, that's a non-topping.
I mean, I'm invoking New York, but
okay.
you might be maligned in New York for ordering a topping. Now, God forbid you order broccoli, because I think you'd get 911, then you'd be in Bellevue.
He was, but he is from Redlands, which is as far away from Brooklyn as you could possibly get.
Well, I think the valley here is a little further.
All right, yeah. All right. So, but listen, we're going to need bone to pick. They need to declare a topping.
Yeah, well,
that's broccoli. Can be removed. Does not have to be an animal product. I will accept black olive. I will accept mushroom. I will accept.
All right. Well,
bell pepper. I will not.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
I had to pay for the therapy.
No, that's all I hear.
That's it.
Adam Carolla. What toppings, Dad? Should have prepped them.
They didn't sleep. I told him you're not.
Listen.
He's not going to put you. You don't have to be.
But here's how it should have worked. Let's do some role playing.
Uh oh.
I'll be Libby. All right, be me.
Really?
You be me. I'm
good at that.
Ask me what I want on my favorite pizza topping is.
Hey, Dr. Spaz. Oh, the kids are here. All right. Libby. Joseph. What toppings
sausage
you guys
and
like?
Onion.
What?
Or meatball.
No.
Moving on.
All right,
love
great.
Mangria. That's how you should have prepped them.
Oh, okay. Next time if I'm ever here
again. 2 hours in the car
whenever
to prep them.
Can I just bring up one more sore point?
Go ahead.
I offered you, my friend Tony's family recipe for limoncello. I said, you've done the mangria thing. We've, dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the response I got, of course, through Lynette, since I never talked to you.
Right.
Was you're coming out with a new mangria product or something in the Corolla line.
Mm-hmm.
A lemon.
Yeah.
Something or other. When you could have had an Italian old family limoncello recipe.
We're working on a man grenade. Mike August is in love with this.
It's delicious.
It is. It is really good. It's just mangria and like lemon.
It's called a lemon train.
Yeah.
Corolla lemon train.
Yeah. Either way, it's
okay.
D-lummy.
All right.
D-yummy. All right. Now, what's the boy doing with the Dr. Phil app?
You know what? I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this. Well, he likes making prank calls. Now,
he
knows nothing. Was it Jimmy? Just Jimmy did it, or you and Jimmy did this, or in the old, that
thanks
led up to crank
such a
yankers.
Fan. Oh, that led up.
Whatever.
Well, everyone, every young boy should have an interest in prank phone calls at a certain point.
Yeah,
you should go through that phase.
I didn't do that.
You didn't. I'm surprised because back when we were growing up, that was all there was. I mean, if I had, an iPad, tablet, and YouPorn, I don't think I would have made as many prank calls as I made.
Maybe some of the girls in the class, sixth grade. I don't know. I don't remember. But this is Taco. He likes calling Taco Bell or
right.
certain business establishments. And he actually, I was one of the first recipients of one of these calls, and I embarrassingly stayed on for about a minute trying to figure out who was calling me because, hey, maybe Dr. Phil's calling.
Well, how do you I don't get the Dr. Phil part. You have to explain that.
Well, it's hello, and then there's are you angry or
– All right, but please explain. You're hearing Dr. Phil's voice.
Well, people – and it's like they're –
Please explain what this
the...
is. Explain what it is.
Is
we
it
don't
a soundboard
know,
or
we
is
don't
it, does
know
it change
what
your voice?
It, we don't know what it is. You're just saying, Doctor, I thought Dr. Phil called.
It's an app, and it has a number of short sound bites of his voice.
Right.
With things that he said, but some things – I'm a drunk pimp. The things that are rather
right.
provocative, rather.
Right, right. So you think it's Dr. Phil
well,
calling
yeah, because
you.
There's hello? Hello?
Right. Okay. Understood.
And then people start to respond. And it's interesting how far people will go in the conversation. And then, of course, he puts in, are you fond of torturing small animals. And at that point,
what about pizza toppings?
From the sublime to the ridiculous.
Okay. So this is all stuff that's just been grabbed from Dr. Phil,
right,
put into an app, and then you hit the response that makes sense. You have
right.
to be kind of skilled, right?
Oh, it is an absolute skill. I tried it myself. Not, of course, as a prank call, but I just tried the sequence. It's,
right.
There's several pages or several screens of... So
you, by the way, could give James Baby Doll Dixon, my agent, a run in the sugar packet department when it comes to your coffee. You have one cup of coffee. How many? And let me also say this. You spreading sugar granules all over my console and then cleaning them up by blowing at it, it's not really taking care of the mess. You know what I mean? You spreading sugar all over the top of the console and then going, it's not really gathering them up. It's just spreading them into the nooks and the crannies. We're going to need a vacuum, by the way. If you want to take a look in here, Matt is going to have to vacuum this up. Now, I don't know how you do this. When you're at a restaurant, I imagine they come and wipe it up after you, but... But here, someone's going to have to clean this up. How many packets are we talking about?
This is just pro forma evidence. I'm not afraid of you. So this is when...
Right.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's only 10. I usually put 12 of these. Here's my defense.
When 12. Yeah, 12.
Do you...
You may have James Baby Doll Dixon anytime. By the way, he does it. He does it like a card shark deals. You ever see a guy with the sleight of hand take a deck of cards, fan it out, put it back together,
right,
do it in one hand, shuffle with one hand? That's what Baby Doll does with sugar packets. He'll pick up 9, hold it between his thumb and forefinger, do a quick snap,
right.
There's Baby Doll Dixon's sugar packet. You can check it out online, by the way.
He's a lightweight. You know how
Adam,
I can tell?
AdamandDrDrewShow.com.
AdamandDrDrewShow.com is where you go. That's the last time we went out to practice.
I know Baby Doll Dixon, and I will take him on anytime. And he's a lightweight, I could tell. Now, let's look at the half and half containers there.
He has five spent half and half containers, and what is a just basically like if you were doing a pep rally and you're doing one of those big, laying all the big pallets up to do the bonfire. That's basically what it looks like.
He's a lightweight. Now, if you're someone in my arena, you have to stack the cream containers within each other. So there are ways that – I mean, I normally don't want to advertise.
Well, no. You understand, Baby Doll loves to make a mess. He likes to throw trash out the window when we drive. He likes waitresses to clean up after him. He's not looking for recycling or orderly fashions or anything. He wants to. He'll tip, but you got to clean up. Like, he's intentionally making as big a mess. It's like if there was an ashtray nearby, he'd flick his cigarette butt the other direction.
I thought I helped him quit stop. He didn't stop smoking?
No.
I'm shocked. Well, I don't want to – there's another factoid here. We're both from Long Island. Long Island.
And you both have incredible metabolisms that let you choke down all this sugar and cream and whatnot and not gain any weight, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let me just defend myself here. Do you drink soda? Just please bear with me. Do you drink soda? Do you ever? Where'd all the Coke go?
Never. I never drink soda.
Okay. Well,
now I'm cornered.
This is like
I can't get out of my own life.
Paula Deen should have said with the N-word. I never, never. You're saying no to something that obviously.
Well, have you ever seen me drink a soda?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are how many?
Have you ever seen me drink a non-dietetic soda?
Yeah.
When?
At your house.
Never.
Never?
I ask anyone who works with me if they've ever seen me drink a non-diet soda and even a rare soda. I drink a beer.
Listen, I've
worked with the man for years. I've only seen him probably take 3 swigs of soda this whole throughout the whole time.
I haven't even seen that.
Well, I've hit off someone else's soda before.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm including the hits.
Yeah, right. Well, how long are these guys? I've known you since, 1996? So
listen! First off,
you've never drank an entire non-dietetic soda.
Not in 20 years.
Okay, well, that's good enough for me. You drank one.
On a bizarre, every once in a blue moon, somebody will show up at my house and go, I went to this great sub place or this great deli, and they have these little niche sort of handcrafted whatever, and they'll bring you a cream soda or some, you know, in the small bottle that's, they, you know, not the big bargain brand, but the cool stuff you get in New York. And you go, if you go to a really good pizzeria, high end or something, they have to, you know, Dr. So-and-so's, whatever. In that rare case, if it's going to be that good, I will pour and I'll drink half a glass on that rare of an occasion. But no.
Well,
All right, but go ahead with your argument. Yes, a soda has as much.
More. Probably 12 teaspoons of sugar equivalent. And then how about the Nimrods that are drinking these energy, giant energy drinks?
Well, those aren't fucking.
Or the Arizona iced teas.
Fucking retards. And listen, people have no idea how many liquid calories they're consuming because the stuff's called Vita Water. And it's called energy this. And it's called.
I drink a Vita Water on the way. And that many of those have, they're dietetic. They have the sugar equivalent.
All right.
Or sugar.
All right. What is your point then?
My point is most of the people that are criticizing
except for the one
me,
I bring up. The Vita Water. What's Vita Water have?
Vita Water.
All right. Fine. Now we got to find the clerk. Look, the point is this. There's tons. These people, they're drinking the smoothies, they're drinking the Frappuccinos, mm-hmm. they're drinking the Vita Waters, they're drinking the energy drinks, they're drinking the big 22-ounce Arizona iced tea and all that kind of stuff. Has tons and tons of sugar or high fructose corn syrup or whatever in it. Yes, agreed.
And I agree
with that.
This at work.
And these are dummies.
And
these are dumb people.
Right.
These are not
the
doctors.
But the Nimrod. Or the doctor colleagues that I have that see me do this make the same comment as they are drinking a Coke, a non-dietetic soda.
They don't look at you as a colleague. they don't say it to your face.
Yeah, if I show up for the shift and work it.
All right. Now, yes, it's true. This is a drink a Coke push. This just happens to be more dramatic because we see the carcasses of all the sugar packets that are laid out.
Plus, there's no Coke in your fridge. I'm not sure what the would happen to that, but.
Listen, everyone in my fucking house drinks soda but me, except for Lynette. Lynette opens a soda, takes one half a sip off it, and then sets it down and never touches it again. And then I always say, I'm not trying to start a fight, but did you want a soda or didn't you want a soda? And she always says, I just wanted one sip. And I'm like,
but is that a waste not want not from being a kid that it bothers you that's going to waste, or is it just
there looks to be 50 calories in a Vita Water?
There you go.
I have never purchased anything liquid and left it behind. I have never left a half a beer.
Oh, come on.
I see. It's 2.5 servings. Yeah, it's 125 calories in a bottle of Vita Water. They do the stupid 2.5 servings, like you're going to have two sips. Look, here's how I'm wired because of where I come from.
Right.
And because I was deprived. I have never left in my life a sip of beer in a cup, a sip of wine in a glass, a smoothie, a cup of coffee, a soda, anything. There's nothing that I've ever ordered at a restaurant, with the exception of the refillable, like the iced tea, where maybe you've had five of them. You know, you're sitting there for 2 hours eating lunch with somebody working on a script or something. They just keep refilling it. I have never left anything half anyone. There's no such thing as going to Starbucks, ordering something, and you finding half a cup of it around my house at some point. I have no. My wife, that's her whole thing. She'll pour a glass of juice. There'll always be an inch at the bottom of it. And I'm always like, just the inch. Shoot it down.
But, you know, this is what people find irritating about you. And what I love about doing the podcast, I can say things to you that I could never say outside of here. But this is what you set yourself up as a beacon on the hill of virtue for certain behaviors. And
it's not virtuous, per se. Mm. Although I don't like wasting things.
Right. But don't you think that's irritating?
Irritating to
your wife and kids. I mean, it's like because I'm sure that as the kids start leaving things, they're going to hear this.
Well, I would say it's irritating to the person that's buying the stuff that you open a root beer, you take two sips, it sits on the counter for some time, and then eventually finds its way into the fridge, but just open, and then it sits there for 2 days, and then eventually just pour it down the sink.
I think I have a couple sodas in my fridge.
You might.
But that's better than not finishing it and just dumping it out right away, because it shows at least some respect for the...
I agree. No, listen, I'm wired in a way that does not leave anything anywhere. I don't throw away any food. I don't leave... There's nothing... Like I said, if we're out to dinner and you order a glass of wine and I order a glass of wine and I finish my glass of wine, which I will always do, and we're leaving and you have a sip at the bottom of your wine, I will reach across the table as you're standing up and getting your jacket on and shoot it down.
Right. I have to admit, all kidding aside, you're one of those rare people that you're consistent when you say you do something, say something historically that you've done it. And most people are full of crap when they say, well, I never do this or that. But you got to be careful with you. You will recount a conversation from 15 years ago and correct someone. And it can be irritating, but the irritating part is you're right.
Well, look, I've said it once. I've said it a million times. I look at everything as just a unit of energy. And I don't like the energy wasted. It's not just kilowatts. You know, it's easy to do the... Well, you left the light on in the closet and you weren't even home. You know, that's okay. You're wasting wattage. That's right. Energy wasted. But when I look at a can of soda, I look at energy. I look at the aluminum. I look at the stamp, the press, the foundry, the labeling, the shipping. The thing had to get put on a flatbed truck and, you know, big rig and trucked out here from wherever the bottling plant is in Atlanta or whatever. Whatever it is, I look at that as a unit of energy. And I don't know how many units are in a soda, but I look at a piece of meat as a unit of energy. When I go out and order a steak, and if I eat half, I'm gonna throw the other half away. No, that's grain, that's water, that's energy, that's photosynthesis, that's just energy going into that, what has now come to my plate.
Really?
I look at everything. I don't look at it and see a number.
No.
I don't assign everything a number, but I look at everything as energy.
Hmm.
And I don't like energy wasted. I don't mind energy spent. I don't like it thrown out.
Hmm.
That's the way I look at it. I don't like the idea of going, well, there's half a steak and I'm done. And now I'm going to throw it in the garbage disposal and kick on the garbage disposal and burn more energy to get it into the ocean.
Wow. I mean, I have those tendencies, but I thought it was part of my OCD, you know, sort of
Mm-mm.
codependency type thing.
Well, I don't have the codependent part, but I do have the...
You don't.
I do have the coast to the stoplight and then try to hit it, try to time it so I don't come to a full stop.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just don't like energy. Listen, but the deal is if gas was 10 bucks a gallon... Or if gas was free, I'm the exact same mode. I'm exactly the same. I drive exactly the same.
Yeah.
Makes no difference to me. It's just energy.
Yeah.
Energy wasted.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
Well,
that's me. Mm-hmm.
It's more fun driving like a maniac, whether...
Yes.
Well, you don't drive like a maniac either, but I guess
I don't.
Do, according to my kids. So.
No, I don't, because the cops in L.A. are just... It's such chicken shit assholes that they do nothing but hand out bullshit tickets. I mean... I listen. I was there was a motorcycle cop coming up at the bottom of my hill yesterday. I had to tweet Lynette, who was bringing Sonny home from basketball practice. Hey, cop, bottom of the hill, sitting on his bike, waiting. You know, that's one of
the right hand. Don't make a right hand turn at the bottom of your hill. I hate that.
One of those. Anyone would just roll through at stop signs. You know, it's just cop chicken shit. You know, basically. I'm scared of cops, and I don't want to give the city a fucking nickel more of my money than I already am. So it's fuck it. I race. So once you start racing, you don't you get your yayas off on the track. You know, I don't feel like.
Oh, see, I would assume be more tendency to be frustrated by the constraints of, especially. I mean, I drive.
Oh,
from,
interesting. Yeah. That's true. No, what I do is I drive. When you get used to racing, you get used to driving around other people in a confined area to high speed, so you're not bothered by it. So I now find myself, I'll ride on someone's bumper, but I'm not worried about it because I'm used to it. And this car has anti-lock brakes. You know, the race car doesn't have brakes.
My Element has anti-lock brakes.
Your Element? Yeah.
And I drive the same way.
Which sister did you get that from?
This was not from my sister.
You have a brother?
No, this is not a family donated car.
I'm confused. Who gave you this car?
This car is nimble. This car, I can weave in and out of traffic. It's the SC model, so it has a suspension that's...
Yeah.
Waiting for a relative with an M5.
The shoe... I don't know what hand... there's nothing that can handle
Honda's worse not than one of your sponsors, I can tell.
Listen, the Element's fine for a young gal who do you think going into college. Not a doctor.
How dare you? My kids do not want me to get rid of that car because there's a social aspect to it. It's a great socializing place. All right. I see them. Who do you think would be a better driver? Me in my Element SC or Drew and whatever the heck he's...
I like Drew. Well, the thing... hold on. Drew, like me, is always in a hurry. And he's always trying to shave a couple of tenths off of whatever he's doing. That's why he backs into the parking spot here and all that stuff. And he drives super aggressively. And I like that. Oh, yeah. Because he's always late to his... Drew's one of these guys who's... First delivery's at 7 a.m., metaphorically, and his last one's at 5, and he gets behind 5 minutes on his first delivery and is trying to make it up every stop after that. That's how he spends all day, every day.
I should read my text to Drew that he thought was very funny. It was a reference to you. It was I said, when I had my hernia surgery, I was on the couch taking Vicodin for a week. I said, unlike Mr. Carolla, who I'm sure after any procedure would rub in our faces that the next day you're out doing construction work.
What happened? I had hernia surgery. Drew had the same hernia surgery.
And I did too within a year.
And you did. And Drew had it before me 5 years. And Drew took a great delight in explaining to me how punished I was going to be physically after this surgery. And I was having this surgery on Friday, late, maybe about 4 or 5 in the afternoon on a Friday. And I said, well, I'll come see you. He saw me in the hospital, actually. But he said, I'll see you on Sunday night. Loveline. Sunday nights, see you Sunday night at work. And he said, no, you won't. And I said, why wouldn't I? And he said, you're going to be laid out, buddy. And I said, surgery's Friday afternoon, more than 2 days, you know. And by the way, I'm just getting in my car and driving over here, and then I'm just going to sit down and talk into a microphone. I'm not a roofer. Doing foundation work. I said, no, I should be fine. Hmm. And he said, you're not going to be here Sunday night. You're going to be at home.
No, you shouldn't. I have a point to make.
No, he said you're not.
Right.
He said, you're going to be laid up. You're going to be on your sofa. And I said, I don't think so. I think I'll be here. And he said, oh, but listen, I got the same thing, and I was laid out for 2 weeks. And it was brutal.
Right.
And you're going to be in a lot of pain. And they started laughing, which is not, you know, I don't know what the Hippocratic Oath, I haven't taken it, but, you know, saying to people before surgery you're going to be in a lot of pain and then laughing, you're not going to see him at work.
It's
not good.
You're not as patient, so Hippocratic Oath doesn't apply.
Oh, okay.
In his defense. All right,
but still, not good form. And I said, I don't know. All right. Well, you know, was made me think, oh, Jesus Christ, maybe this is going to be a little more than I bargained for. I had the thing Friday at 5 o'clock. I don't know. I got home 7 o'clock or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the drugs and the being tranquilized and put under and all that kind of stuff, I remember just going to bed early, like 10 o'clock, which was, you know, for me, I'd go to bed at 1 o'clock, 2
right,
o'clock,
right.
Because I was doing Loveline. But I just went to bed at some very early hour for me, 10:30. So thus, at 6:30, and at the time, I was obsessed with working on my house. I was literally obsessed. I mean, really crazy, nutty, obsessed about getting this big project done.
Right.
And I woke up at, 6:15. And I just sat up in my bed and I just went, huh. I kind of, not much memory of the day before because I was put out and drugged up and everything. And I kind of stood up and I just went, I feel pretty good. And then I said, Lynette, I'm going to the house. I'm going to work. And she went, ah. And I went, I feel fine. And she went, ah. And I just went, all right. And I just got in my car. It was like 6:45 in the morning, 7 in the morning. And I went to the house. And I remember I was excited because these doors I'd ordered a month ago had finally come in. And I just hung the doors.
You hung. Well, here's
they weren't solid oak doors, but they were.
No, but here's my point. You do have remarkable recuperative powers. But the message, say, to your kids would be tough, tough it out. The reason you're told to rest, and what I was saying Drew probably said you shouldn't, is because you need some time for healing to occur.
But my body told me it was fine.
Right. Well, I don't know how many people I've seen come in the ER. It's like, when did you have surgery? 2 days ago. What'd you do? Oh, I had to go out and lift her. Did they tell you not to lift? Yes. And then there's a tear. They have to go back and surgery. So that's
the concern. Yeah, I figured if I didn't feel well, I wouldn't have done it. But yeah. Now, speaking of that, I do have something cooking right about now, which you could maybe speak to. I don't know. But speaking of hernia. It's right in that department.
Yeah.
And it may be the other side. So we can talk about that for 1 second. I'm going to need your advice on that. First, go to meeting, baby. Oh, yeah. Go to meeting. It's summer. Weather's great. Kids out of school ordering their plain pizzas. Sprinkling some broccoli over the top. Broccoli. Yeah. But the business, it don't stop. Oh, the kids stop.
No.
Not Papa. Not Bruce, not the Ace Man. We use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's powerful, baby. You can collaborate online and stay connected with your coworkers and your clients. You share ideas, do some problem solving, get some projects done. GoToMeeting. Just one click. You can share the screen at work. You can use documents. Do it in real time. Turn your webcam on and have beautiful meetings in HD video and do the video conferencing. And we use it every time we do a meeting out here. I mean, we use it when we're signing up clients because they're telling us about what they do. And we all just hop on, go to meeting and boom, it's all on one stage. All right. It's how we do the business over here. It's efficient and it's fast. Try GoToMeeting free. 30 days free. 30 days free. I got a special offer. Shut up, Bruce. Special offer. GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Use the promo code Adam. Remember, use the promo code Adam. Go to meeting. Meeting is believing.
All right. Wait a second. Why couldn't I go to meeting this show? I wouldn't have to
that
drive 75
nice.
Miles from Rutledge.
That would have been nice.
And you wouldn't
and
hear.
And we wouldn't have a goddamn. It's like Sammy Davis Jr. threw up in here.
Cocaine?
No.
Oh.
The candy man.
Oh, the candy.
Oh, but cocaine, too. All right. We got to get a vacuum in here, honestly. All right. When we come back, I think I have hernia on the other side. I'll ask you, and then we got your phone calls. We'll do that right after this.
Hi, folks. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week on This Week with Larry Miller, I answer the question because I'm back from Vancouver again. What it was like to go to Tim Hortons for coffee. Did I get there? Listen to the show for free through iTunes or on the Adam Carolla app. We'll see you here.
Hey,
Dr. Spaz. Couple things. I have a medical condition. We're going to need to get to the bottom of that. He's going for round two with the sugar. There's sugar all over this goddamn place right now. It's up top. It's down below. It's in the corner where your phone is. And then Bruce comes back in here for round two, and he has the 12 packets in his fingers, and he's getting ready to put the cup down on the console and go for round two. And I said, take it out to the kitchen and stand over the sink with it. And he's like, what?
That's not what I said.
And he said, I was going to do that. I'm like, well, you were standing at the sink with the sugar and your coffee. Why is this your designated sugar application zone? Why would this be the place? And what would give you... The reason I'm laughing is there anything in the sugar mess that would lead you to believe that you're good at putting sugar into your cup without spreading it all over the fucking place?
I don't know. This is why people are afraid of you. You're so critical.
Why not just put the sugar in where you're standing over the sink, where if it goes all over the place, it'll just go down the drain?
Well, I was anxious. I didn't want to keep you waiting. So I came, I did part of it there, and then I saw you come in here. So I was just, you know, I don't want to keep waiting.
All right. Matt, have you ever seen more sugar spread around an area of one cup of coffee?
Yeah, he's not going to disagree with you. It's not that bad. It's
check the website for the pictures.
It's pretty tough. It's multi-level. Oh, it's multi-level.
I'm busted.
It's multi-level.
Thanks
a
lot,
Gary.
Go
to the website. Check the pictures. All right. Now, me. I had, for no reason, I was skipping my rope a week ago. And for no reason whatsoever, I felt some lower back pain. Right below my right hip. Backside right hip. But the pain sort of went across to the front.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, where the hernia would be. No bulging or anything, just pain in front, pain starts in back, kind of cuts through at an angle to the front. Then I go out and have this horrible odyssey on 4th of July where Lynette's car gets a couple of flat tires, and I'm trying to take the piece of shit jack fucking... $80,000 fucking German car and a 10-cent fucking piece of shit tin jack and jack the fucking piece of shit up. And I'm pulling the spare out of the back and I'm knocking the lug nuts off and my back's just fucking killing me the whole thing. The worst thing you do is change this flat when your lower back's
right.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'm down on my knees and I'm trying to get this jack going and I'm trying to get the tire fit onto the lug nuts. And it's just like, And then the next day, I wake up, my back's fucking killing me, but I got to go back to where I left the car and finish. I couldn't get the fuck. I had to bring my floor jack. Such a piece of...
What? Don't you have AAA?
No.
Oh. Seriously?
I don't know what I have.
You did it yourself.
I always do. If I get a flat, I'm like, fuck it, yeah. I'm changing. I would never call anyone or do anything like that. I would never do that.
I know.
And instead, I had to call a cab 2 hours later to drive me home, and my back was fucked up. And it's the piece of shit jack that comes with this fucking out. They have these stupid, shitty Euro tin things. They're not real jacks like there used to be. Used to be they give you a bottle jack or a scissor jack or something. Now it's just this weird fucking one-sided, cranky tin, sheet metal tin bullshit. Anyway.
Respectfully, don't they assume the more – I would assume the more expensive the car, the less likely that person is to – manual labor, do it themselves, isn't it?
So I would also argue that if you got a car that's $80,000, you should have a jack that's worth more than $4.
You should have the presence of mind to have someone else do it for you.
Then I would argue why you offer a jack. Why would you offer a jack in your car? Then if it's just some toll-free hotline where some chick with a German accent says, yes, we'll send somebody out immediately, then don't fucking put a jack in the back of your car.
Now, what about your vintage Italian cars? Because, you know,
those
God
have
forbid
real
I
jacks.
No, I have. God forbid I compare myself, but I did buy two Ferraris in a pawn shop once, and and the jacks.
He's not lying.
And I did, and the jacks, if you call them Ferraris, I mean they're not in
308s.
Yeah,
right.
Or actually, the 74 was a Dino. I don't think the name Ferrari was on that. I think he
was
named it
Dino.
Yeah, Oh. It had the same engine as the 308.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which?
Yeah, yeah. Dinos are going for $375,000 bucks right now.
Wait a second. Maybe it wasn't a Dino.
No, you bought the Fiat Dino.
Right.
A little bit different.
Yeah, but it had the same 8-cylinder engine as the 308.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, the jacks and those things were not up to your standard.
I'll show you this one. This is a piece of tin with a fucking skid on the bottom of it.
Audi's not one of your sponsors either, I would assume.
They make a good car and a shitty jack.
Great car.
Listen, have someone go get the jack. Oh, no, shit, I don't have that car. Oh, wait, what the fuck does my car have? Now, yeah, my car is a good... fuck it. All right, where were we? What do I got? Do I have another hernia?
Oh, I was trying to unsuccessfully trying to... The Hippocratic Oath also in the state of California would... Mm-hmm. You know, really, a lot of this stuff, you're supposed to have a medical record. I'm supposed to document, you know, if I'm making a diagnosis. But basically, you're pointing to your lower back on the right. If you're in the ER, what would I do in the ER? The question is, do you have loss of bowel or bladder control?
No.
Do you have perianal numbness?
No.
I don't want to check that. Do you have hyperactive reflexes or asymmetric reflexes, loss of sensation, loss of strength?
No, I just have a bunch of pain in the front.
Then I would
a bunch
write your prescription for Norco, Robaxin, Motrin, and discharge you because it's not significant. No, but seriously,
get it.
That's what happens in the hospital. So, but it doesn't sound like a hurt. It sounds like low back strain.
Yeah,
and
then I aggravated it.
I think you have a very high tolerance to pain because remember we did the MRI in your thigh, and I seriously thought you had some sort of strange muscular cancer.
Right.
Because you had a lump. And you had a really significant tear on MRI, but you had very little in the way of symptoms. And it went away really quickly. Because at one point, it was like, I don't really think I need the MRI. But you had
a combination of two things, which one is just, in my DNA. And then the other I have created, which is I don't know, it was about a year ago or so. I don't remember what it was, but I had a muscle tear in my thigh. And it was bothering me. And then at a certain point, I think it's swole up a little bit.
Yeah.
And Bruce suggested an MRI, and it was a muscle tear. But I didn't miss a day or anything.
No.
I'd skip my rope. I went to work. I did whatever it is I did. I just had a tear in my muscle. Physically, I probably don't react to stuff as strongly as a lot of people react to stuff, but I would argue that mentally I don't either.
Yeah.
It's always just go on, move forward, and keep going. So my back's fucked up, but that's not going to stop me from changing the spare, and my thigh's torn, but it's not going to stop me from going on the road, doing my shows, skipping my rope.
Right.
Now, maybe it should,
but
I don't have that mindset. I have the mindset of there's nothing... I can't stand it when someone goes like, oh, man, I just flew in from L.A., so I'm on a different time clock, and I got to fucking sit down. It's like, oh, shut up. Whatever time it is where you're at is where you're at. You know what I mean?
But there's a huge there's a syndrome where people do not feel pain, and these people don't live very long because of the damage you can do. I mean, the pain is there for a reason.
Right.
And
I felt pain in my thigh. Just I wasn't going to stop doing whatever it is I was doing.
Well, right. With the MRI, though, you don't get an MRI for just garden variety pain. You actually had a lump there, and it was getting bigger over about a 2-week period of time. And then we got the MRI. I was like, wow, there's a significant muscle tear here. And your function and your pain level was extraordinarily low. So
I forgot about about that injury. Adarsh?
Hey, Adam.
What's going on? I know you called in the other week, and we were talking. You're calling from Moscow, by the way, but he's an Indian guy.
Yeah.
And then
I just heard about the conversation on the Adam Carolla show, by the way. So
okay. Yeah, you were brought up not by name, because who the fuck can remember Darsh? But I did, and somebody, and you can tell me how this works.
Mm-hmm.
I brought up Darsh because I said... I'm interested in other cultures, mainly in making fun of them, but sometimes there's a legitimate interest. And I said, what's going on with India? Because you have these slums, this crazy squalor and slums, and then you have tons of doctors coming out of the same place. Coming over here. But not many nations have that kind of range where it's like, well, it's pretty much nothing but living in a bucket of shit or you have a PhD. You know, like there's places like Mexico, but they're a little more consistent, you know, and there's places like Canada. They're a little more consistent. And even we have range, obviously, but not this kind. We don't have shantytown slums and then everyone else is a doctor. That's what I've decided. Shut up. We don't have people living.
Right.
We don't have raw sewage running down the fucking streets with corrugated roof stuff. We have bad parts of town, but people have indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
All right. And yes, there are some homeless people, but they're mostly drug addicts or insane. So I queried now here when that topic comes up, they go, well, you have to understand it's a whole system where, you know, brown people and black people and stuff historically are being kept down. And that's they can't. It's a cycle of poverty and blah, blah, blah. But then I go and I always go, bullshit. Stop it. Everyone study. Stop shitting out so many kids and you can get to work and you'll fix your problem. Because the big problem I have with people in there, here's what we do with our racist society is what about the other races that we don't seem to hold down? Jews, Asians, people that have been discriminated against historically around the world and here as well, they seem to thrive. So what are we doing in the oppression department and how are we letting these people, some nationalities are getting through our racism net, another word, but we're only interested in holding down Hispanics. I don't know how that works. I totally disagree with it. And I think the people who claim they agree with it know it's bullshit as well. I know what the answer is. Nobody really wants to listen to me. But I said to Adarsh, what's going on in India? Because you're all the same nation.
Well, does the caste system have anything
same race?
To do with
it? Yes. And then somebody said to me, I said, you here we just go, it's racism. You're holding this person. This group gets held back because of the color of their skin or where they were born. But there, you're all born in the same place. You're all the same color. How do you get held down? And then somebody told me, or they tweeted, it's the caste system. How do you address that, Adarsh?
Well, I think the caste system was, it existed about 50, 60 years ago. That was before the, at the time when the British were in India. But now, I mean, you can see it. It's very apparent. You have people from, I will take the example of a city like Bombay, which has about 20 million people, and a huge portion do live in slums. And they come from all over the country to live there. And the reason they're there is because their families are so huge. I mean, it's pretty apparent. The casteism is a good excuse even the politicians in India use. I heard the Gavin Newsom interview, and I can relate that to a lot of politicians in India, but that's not really the truth.
Gavin Newsom.
The family structure of those who are poor.
That was 22 minutes of the lieutenant governor of California fucking saying nothing. No answers, no anything. Yeah. He wanted to shut down check cashing places.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect politician. He'll be governor, too. Just give him a chance.
He had no answer. I asked him many questions. Did he offer any answers other than it was complicated and then said the dumbest thing any politician's ever said in my presence, which is he likes to work small to big in his problem solving. I said, I like to work big to small.
I heard that, yes.
Right. He's a fucking... Now, to be fair to Gavin Newsom, he's just a liar. He's not dumb. He just wants to get reelected. He's a hypocrite liar.
So he's a politician.
Who comes from wealth. He tried it. Do this bullshit hard scrabble thing with me where I come from a broken family as well. His dad was lead counsel for Getty Oil. Getty Oil.
He tried that on you? What did you say? I didn't hear you.
He's a nice guy who lies and hurts the people who he's trying to get votes from. Ultimately, these people should be brought up on charges because you are the one who are keeping these people down. You are the one who are not doing a fucking thing about this problem. The problem, too many kids, not a focus on education.
Yeah.
Less kids, more focus on education, problem solved. Not tomorrow, pretty quickly, though.
Free healthcare.
Nah, it's awesome.
So, Adarsh, you had a question? Adarsh?
He was following up his...
He's in Russia. What the heck?
Yes. Yeah, so... You say too many kids in the outlying areas, then they come into Bombay or wherever they're coming into, and they just not enough money, not enough food, not enough education, too many kids. It's fucking simple math.
But bright people. I had a friend that was from India, went to Uganda, came over here, was Muslim, but he was a capitalist. And
wow.
Brilliant guy, interesting guy. Peaceful. He was so upset. During 9/11, he was so upset there wasn't more publicity about Muslims that were capitalistic, loved America.
Yeah.
And
well, they're not quite as vocal.
Well, you know,
to be fair to them.
Yeah, they don't get the press.
They don't get the press because they don't exactly take to the streets either. Adarsh, are you still there? Or did he fall off? Jesus Christ.
What's he doing in Moscow?
He's freedom. Working. He's doing computer shit over there.
Stereotype. A little stereotype.
Well, what do you think he's doing? Masonry work? Go from fucking India to Moscow to lay brick. No, I talked to him last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I can listen
to
that.
It's interesting that he says the class system is a sort of political excuse. Because he said that's been over for a while.
Yeah.
But look. Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there is always a historical reason for why a certain group is not doing as well as another group. In Gavin Newsom's world, he sits there and talks about slavery until he's blue in the face. I would argue, while that is a factor, that is not helping the descendants of those slaves that are currently not doing well. It's like we just keep wanting to talk about, as a doctor,
right?
You don't want to just keep talking about, you know, well, you have a family history of a, well, you have a family history. What's your problem and how can we cure it today?
Right.
Going back in time, decades and now into over 100 years and looking into historically what has caused a problem is fine if you're a curator at a fucking library or a museum. But if you're trying to solve problems today, then let's figure out what the problem is and let's focus on it.
Right. Well, the danger is
not interested in that.
Yeah.
Danger is not interested.
The people that he's talking about, at some point, it turned. The tables turn, and they get angry at people like that, too, because they see the pandering.
They got to vote, and he doesn't give a shit because he lives in a double-gated community. His whole thing is just fuck him, make him think I love him. It's like give him candy for breakfast. They'll love me.
Yeah.
That's great parenting. Good parenting. All right. California's just going to fall in the fucking ocean. It's just going to fall into the ocean.
And
it'd be nice.
You're moving further from
I'm getting out.
Get further away from the ocean.
I'm getting out. All right. What else we got here? Ah, Amazon, baby. Here's a story of triumph, by the way. Doc. Remember Dwight Doc Gooden?
Yeah.
You know. You remember Dwight Doc Gooden. Mets superstar. Three World Series rings. Three World Series rings. Rookie of the Year. Cy Young Award winner. While teammates were celebrating in 86, he was drunk, high, watching on TV, and then the addiction. 25 years of battling addiction. Doc is just a brutally honest memoir, and it's about family and baseball and all the squandered talent. I mean, there was a guy who had everything, and you want to talk about addiction coming in and ruining a guy's life, but a cautionary tale, a fascinating read, and you can order it on Amazon.com. Don't forget to click through the banner at AdamCarolla.com/AdamAndDrew. That's AdamCarolla.com/AdamAndDrew. Get this book, Doc. It is absolutely amazing, and it's a story that needs to be told. All right. Me and Dr. Drew, our reunion tour highlights, three shows, Bakersfield, Santa Barbara, Denver, all on iTunes and under $5. You can't get out to those shows. You want to check it out. Max Apata skillfully edited them together. It's all the best of three big shows. And fund anything. Oh, what about that? Yeah, we support the pirate ship. Go to fund anything and check out Road Hard, my next movie. Fundanything.com/AdamCarolla. And there's all sorts of stuff on there. T-shirts and premieres and Blu-ray discs.
So I'm going to be in the movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, as long as you go there and buy your way in. All right. So, And also, if you want to subscribe via PayPal and put a couple shekels in our pocket, that would be nice. It just, well, you know, we got the air conditioning on right now. It's hot.
The pirate ship's doing pretty well.
And Bruce drank, probably just consumed like $11 worth of sugar. So we got to figure on that. All right. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Spaz. What is your tweeter?
Dr. Bruce H.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Dr. how come Bruce Ray's H. got more followers than I do? He rubs it in. It's not right.
Dr. Bruce H. is where you go to follow him on Twitter. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Spaz. Chris Max Pata, Gary Haftart saying, mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.